every so often, we all need a reminder of what's really important. And that's what we get today on Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz. We're in Hebrews 7 and 8, what our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, calls one of the high water marks in the Word of God. What makes it so special? Well, it's all about Jesus. If you remember, the original audience to this letter was one generation removed from being eyewitnesses to Jesus' earthly life and ministry. No one in this audience likely saw Jesus after he rose from the dead, but they have heard all about him. They also heard false teaching that led their hearts astray. So this letter calls them back to faith by reminding them of what's really important to remember, beginning with Jesus is not dead. He conquered death and has all the power needed to provide us with what we need. In fact, he's all we need. Hebrews also reminds us that Jesus is higher than the heavens, meaning that he sits with God the Father, yet he also walks with us today. Dr. McGee loves this section of the Word, and it's obvious in his enthusiasm. He reminds us several times that Jesus is real. We have a living, powerful, loving advocate in the person of Jesus Christ. How wonderful is that? Let's pray. Precious Father, thank you that you've created us with a longing for you that can only be fulfilled in your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you that we need him today, and because of your great love for us, that we have him today. Help us now to learn from your word and then to strengthen our hearts as we walk day by day with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we are coming today, as we've already indicated, to the high water mark here in the 8th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. I think that we hit it back in chapter 7 when we began with verse 25. Wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And this is, in my judgment, one of the high water marks in the Word of God. And it's the key verse to this section. And you see that the emphasis here is upon the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is not dead, but living. He's not on a cross today. He died there, and they put him in a grave, and he's not there today either. He rose from the dead, and the emphasis is now upon the living Christ. He's alive up there. And then he goes on to say, for such a high priest becomes us. He's what we need, and he's all we need. He's holy, harmless, and as we saw last time, he's holy in his relation to God. No question about him. There would be about some man down here, and he's harmless. He never does anything to harm you. He never moves by anger, and he's undefiled. He's free from any moral impurity. He's separate from sinners in his life and in his character. But my friends, he's right down here among us, and he wants us to come to him. And he's higher than the heavens. That means he's in the presence of God. And the value of his sacrifice is stated here, verse 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. And his sacrifice was not a silver or gold or bulls or goats, but he offered up himself. There's no greater value than that. His redemption is more precious than silver or gold or anything. Now, verse 28 says, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. You don't put your confidence in a man when you put your confidence in Jesus, but you put your confidence in the God-man. And he's a man because of the fact that he today can sympathize with you. He's able to meet your need down here, friends. He's a royal priest. He's a righteous priest. He's a peace-promoting priest. He's a personal priest. He's for you personally. And he didn't inherit the office. He is an eternal priest. He didn't come in the line of Aaron, didn't inherit it, you see. Now, he ministers, we're told here in chapter 8, in a superior sanctuary by a much better covenant, and it's built upon better promises. Now, we have here, first of all, in these first five verses, the true tabernacle. And I'd like to read again these verses. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Actually, he's not summing this up, although I would not want to say that that's not here. It's here, but there's more than that here. If I could give you a literal translation, it would be like this. In consideration of the things which are spoken, this is the focal point, or the chief point. We have such a high priest, as we've seen. He sat down in the heavens on the right hand of the majesty. And as we've said, this is the high water mark now in Hebrews. And he did something that no priest in the Old Testament ever did. There's not a priest in the line of Aaron that ever had a chair in the tabernacle where he sat down. He's on the run all the time. Why? Because you just have to keep moving. All of these things are shadows. They're pointing to a finished sacrifice. And now when Christ died, it's all fulfilled. There's no need of running around, friend. You don't have to act like a chicken with your head cut off today in the religious world. And so many act like that. All that you have to do is turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sat down because he finished your redemption, and he asked you to accept it. Now, we're moving into this area that he's a superior priest. He's better. In fact, he's the best. But we're told in verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Now, Bezalel was the one who made the articles of furniture, the beautiful articles of furniture, like the ark, the top of it, the mercy seat, and the golden lampstand. And he did that. It was highly ornate and very beautiful, made out of gold. He made it. It's all man-made, but the Holy Spirit led him in all of it. It took a man with a gift that the Holy Spirit had given him. But the thing to understand is that the Lord Jesus ministers in a tabernacle that he himself has made in heaven. Now, we're going to talk about something, and very candidly, I feel totally inadequate again to say this to you, and I hope that I communicate something to you in these next few verses that we have here. Let me read again verse 2 and then read verse 3. A minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. You see, that verse makes it clear that the temple in Jerusalem was still in existence and that priests were still functioning there. Now, verse 5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Now, here is the thing that I truly believe, that when Moses made the tabernacle, God gave him a pattern of the original, the true tabernacle. And when it says true here, it means the genuine tabernacle. In verse 2, when it says a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, the genuine one. And you notice the temple with all of its complications and all of its detail does not furnish the type. The tabernacle does in all of its simplicity. Now let me say just a word about it, because after all, the temple was really patterned after it, but it became a rather complicated thing. But you have simplicity in the tabernacle itself. Now, it was called a tent, because, frankly, it was boards that were put up, very attractive, by the way, very ornate, covered with gold, so that it was 30 cubits long and 10 cubits wide. And it was divided into two compartments. There was a compartment that was called the Holy Place. It had in it three articles of furniture, golden lampstand, a golden table of showbread, and a golden altar where incense was offered. No sacrifice other than incense. Now, the lampstand speaks of Christ, the light of the world. The table of showbread speaks of him as the bread of life. And the altar there, the golden altar, speaks of prayer, the fact he's our great intercessor. Here's where the high priest went to pray. And then on the great day of atonement, he went back of the veil, for the tabernacle was divided into two compartments. And back in the Holy of Holies, there were two articles of furniture, the Ark of the Covenant, and it was a box made of wood covered with gold on both inside and outside. In it were the tables of stone and pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded. It all speaks, the Ten Commandments speak of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law, and he fulfilled it, and he's the only one that ever kept it in all of its detail. And then there was there the pot of manna that speaks of the fact that he's the bread of life even today. And then you have Aaron's rod that budded, and that speaks of his resurrection. Now on top of it was a mercy seat, called a mercy seat. It was really a top for the box, highly ornamented, two cherubims that looked down upon the top. High priest went in there once a year, put blood down there for the nation, and that's what made it a mercy seat, because that was God's dwelling place. That is not a permanent dwelling place, but that's where he met with the children of Israel. Now, around the tabernacle, there was a court, and there was a fence. The fence was 100 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and in that court, there were two articles of furniture. Now, those two articles of furniture, in what was known as the outer court, one was the brazen altar where all sacrifice was made. And that's where the sin question was settled. But you know, saints sin, and so there was a laver where you come for washing. Now, when the sin question's been settled in the outer court, you move into the holy place, and that's the place where the priests served, and that's the place of worship, and you worship God when you pray, when you feed upon him, when you walk in the light of his presence, and that is in obedience to him. That's worship. But no one ever got into the Holy of Holies. But the Lord Jesus, when he died, that veil was rent in twain, and that way was opened up into the Holy of Holies. Not only did that take place, but the Lord Jesus Christ actually took that tabernacle, which was horizontal with the earth, and made it perpendicular. Because down here on the earth, why, that's where he died. Here's where we make confession of sin. And then the golden lampstand, and we walk in the light of his word because we feed upon it. And then there is that golden altar, but it's not there anymore, as we're going to find. It's up yonder in heaven, because that's where he's gone. And the rest of this is all up in heaven today. Now, my friend, this is the point I want to make. Someone says, well, you said when you got to this section here, because we were warned back in chapter 5 and 6 that he was going to start serving porterhouse steaks, that we'd all been drinking milk, and now he's going to give us something deep. This seems very simple. Yes, it is, friend. And somebody says, well, then, is this a porterhouse steak? Yes, it is. I hope now I can get through to you what we're talking about. Now, if you'd been in Israel and you had gone to the heart of that camp in the wilderness, you would have seen when they were camped that that tabernacle was functioning. That was the pillar of cloud over it by day, the pillar of fire by night, and the priests were busy running to and fro there, just as busy as termites. And sacrifice was being offered, and incense was being offered, and all of that sort of thing was going on. And there was observance of this ritual, and they were going through all of it. Now, that was a shadow of a reality. In heaven, there is the reality. And the rest of the reality is this, that Jesus is there today functioning for you and for me. Now, are you ready for the beefsteak? We've got it cooked now, and I'd like to put it right down before you. Friends, I want to ask a personal question. Is he real to you right now? May I say to you, if you still like to run around in a ritual and have a nice, beautiful service, and there's nothing wrong with that, don't misunderstand me, but you think that's worship, and you think that today that you're serving God because you're teaching a Sunday school class or you're singing in the choir, I have news for you. You forget it. That, my friend, is not what he's talking about here. He's trying to get through to you that Jesus is up yonder for you right now, this very moment. And what does it really mean to you? Come on now, don't get choked on the steak. Don't ask for a glass of milk now. Don't start running around doing these little things. Let the pots and pans alone, Martha. You don't need to be handling those right now. Let's sit at Jesus' feet. Let's have him a reality in our lives. When you left the house this morning, did you leave with him? Were you conscious of his presence? He's up there serving for you, friends. He's your intercessor. You go to him to make confession of your sins. Why is it that you're worrying your pastor to death? You have to go over there for counseling all the time. Isn't Jesus real to you today? Why keep drinking the milk? Quit being a little baby that has to be burped all the time. Grow up and come into the presence of a living Savior today. Oh, friends, here is what he's talking about. May God take the veil from our eyes. And may he make Jesus Christ in all of his power and in all of his salvation and all of his love and in all of his care for you and in all of his reality. The real tabernacle is up yonder. That tabernacle that was down here, I'm of the opinion many Israelites would told you, well, that tabernacle's real. I've been up, I felt the linen, that linen fence that was around it. I've been in there and stood by that altar. That altar's real. Well, my friend, have you been into the Holy of Holies and found out that there's a throne of grace there and that Jesus is your intercessor? And is he real to you? Don't misunderstand me today. Please, will you stop the baby talk? Don't write me and say, Dr. McGee, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I hope you did, but is Jesus real to you today? Has the Holy Spirit taken Christ and made him real to you today? I'm not talking about going to church and singing the doxology and having the invocation and I've been to church and I feel better. Well, I hope you do feel better and I hope you've got something for your souls, but are you still drinking milk? Is that what you had for dinner? Is Jesus real to you? That's the important thing. And up yonder, there is a real tabernacle. And I want to feed on the living bread today. I want to walk in the light of his presence so that anywhere I go, the letter I read, no one's ever heard me preach against liquor. In fact, I'm rebuked by that by some people. Why don't you run up the American flag? Why don't you fight communism? Why don't you do this? My friend, I'm teaching the Word of God, and I'm trying to get folk into the presence of the living Christ. And if you get there, may I say to you, like the letter I read, the fellow said, I never knew how cheap a glass of beer was. And that's in spite of all they say about it on TV today. My friend, I'd like to get through to you today. I'd like for you to see the reality of Christ. And when you do, all of these things will drop into their correct place. You don't need to worry about that. Because if you're walking in the light of his presence, you're going to walk with him down the street. And if you go into a bar room, he's going to have to go in with you. I don't know whether you want to take him there or not. Maybe you do. And there'll be a lot of places that you're going to stop and consider. And you're going to stop and consider your conduct if you're conscious of the presence of Jesus Christ with you all the time. He is the living intercessor today, friends. He's alive. It's wonderful to read the Gospels and talk about the man who walked by the Sea of Galilee. I love to read them. But he's not by the Sea of Galilee. He today is at God's right hand. He finished my redemption. And he says, McGee, you're sort of a problem child, but I want you to come to me. And I've been coming to him. I can take everything to him. Friends, am I getting through to you today? This, my friend, is what he meant when he said, we're dull of hearing. All of us are. Have you heard him? Have you seen him? Has God made him real to you? Now, if you've seen him visibly, something's wrong with you. But has God made him real to you in your heart? Oh, how wonderful this is. You say you're bogged down. No, we're not. We're in his presence. We're at the high water mark. We're walking in the tall corn today. We're treading on the mountaintops. We're skipping on the hills today. This is a wonderful section. Now, verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now we've come to something else. This tabernacle down here was a shadow. The reality is up yonder, and he's real today down there. And he lives up there. He can keep us saved. Somebody says, you think you can lose your salvation? I want to make a confession to you. I'd lose mine before the sun went down today if he wasn't up there right now. I tell you, he's having a problem with me, and maybe he's having a problem with you. But thank God he's there. The reality, Jesus Christ, my, how we need him today. He's the mediator of a better covenant now. We're going to see about that better covenant, which hath been enacted upon better promises. Now, if you're not a dispensationalist, you're not going to like what we're going to say next time. Maybe you'll want to go fishing or do something like that next time, because we're going to see that he's talking about these things that are so important today, if we are to know him. And so, friends, until next time, may the Lord be real to you. May you walk in his presence, conscious of his presence every moment.
What a fabulous blessing Dr. McGee just gave us. Yes, may the Lord be real to you, and may you be conscious of his presence with you every moment. You know, life certainly takes on a new dimension when we're fully aware of his presence with us. And that's what the tabernacle pictured for the children of Israel as they wandered in the desert for 40 years. It was a metaphor of God's presence. We learned today that the tabernacle was also a picture of Jesus himself. If you'd like to explore more of this beautiful, intricate picture of the tabernacle, then download a booklet Dr. McGee wrote on this very special and specific subject. And as an interesting note, Dr. McGee first published this material as a series of articles for the Journal of the Dallas Theological Seminary back in 1937. And I know that you'll find the material as relevant today as it was back then. It always amazes me how God's Word stands the test of time. To download your free copy of The Tabernacle, God's Portrait of Christ, you can visit us at ttb.org and click on Free Booklets in the Resources section. Again, that's ttb.org. Or to find out about the many other resources we make available to help you deepen your study of God's Word, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or email us at biblebus@ttb.org. You may also be wondering how you can invest in the ministry of Through the Bible with an important year-end gift. Your financial partnership, along with your prayers and your gifts from others in the Through the Bible family worldwide, is how God provides for the needs of this ministry. So thank you for responding to God's prompting with cheerful generosity. If you'd like your gift to be counted in this calendar year, then be sure it's dated and postmarked by Tuesday, December 31st. Drop it in the mail to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. Or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. You can also give online at ttb.org or by calling us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-800-652-4253. God promises in Isaiah 55:11 that his word would accomplish exactly what he intends. We hope our study today impacts your life as he intends to. There's a way that you can help that, too. For next time, as you hear our opening music, Why don't you ask God to help you hear and obey what He wants to teach you? Maybe even read the passage ahead of time. Come ready to hear from God, and you'll be ready to receive His best. Tomorrow, we're back on the Bible bus as we travel through the book of Hebrews. It's a fascinating stretch of road, isn't it? I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.